From Tradio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is The Daily Breakfast. It's the month of December, and that is the month of both Christmas and the month of the new Star Wars movie. What do Magi, Jedi, and wizards have in common?
I am about to enter the Roman Death Star Trench. This is kind of how it feels. It's a tunnel that goes underneath one of the hills. It's a very, very loud, noisy, polluted tunnel with lots of traffic. It's one of the easiest way to get to the Tiber. But I am coming from the Tiber. The Tiber is right behind me in that direction. But I'm going through the tunnel to the other part of Rome, and this tunnel will actually bring me to the left side of the Vatican. It's the southern wall. But this tunnel has almost like a science fiction kind of vibe to it, by the way it's lit and the sound. I always imagine kind of being in an X-wing fighter flying through this tunnel to the core of the whatever, the fourth Death Star, to blow it up. And well, that may be a good, nice narrative bridge to, well, actually a very cheap narrative bridge to the topic of today's show, which of course has to do with Star Wars. This is the week before the premiere of The Last Jedi, at least when I'm recording this. Not sure when you are watching this. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the common elements between, here it comes, between the Jedi and the Magi and the wizards. And Magi, in a certain way, are the original term. The Magi that we know from the Christmas story were wise men from the East. Well, our translations say wise man, but the original Greek term was magos. And magos was, that's where the word magic and magician comes from. It is a very old word, which was used for people that were part of a priestly tribe or priestly community based on Zoroastras. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And so those people were known, those magi, were known for their expertise in astrology. So they would look at the stars, study the skies, and they would see all sorts of signs in that. And as I race through this tunnel, I always wish for this to be over as soon as possible. Let's blow this thing up and get the heck out of here. The whole idea of the Magi in the story, in the Nativity story, because you may be surprised actually that in a biblical story you all of a sudden have these occult guys. What are they coming to do? Well, their function in the story is to show that Jesus was perceived not just by the Jews, by the people of Israel, as the Messiah, as someone you should kneel down for, just like you would kneel down for a king or for, certainly for the Son of God, but that this was also a message that was destined for the world. And the Magi, in a certain way, are the representatives for all the other people that will get to know Christ as their Savior as well. And so the Magi, there's something I think beautiful about that story. They kneel down, according to the gospel, and they present this newborn child with gifts. And the fact that they kneel down, of course, is a sign of their reverence, but also their acknowledgement that this child represents a power that goes way beyond their own knowledge, and their own power. I think we're almost out of the tunnel right now. You can see the dome of St. Peter's Basilica in the night sky. And the biggest advantage is the moment I step out of this tunnel, the audio is much better, because the sound of these cars is no longer reverberating in this circular hellhole. That's how it feels. It's beautiful now with St. Peter's Basilica all lit up. And again, I'm walking on the left side. If you're standing in front of the St. Peter's Square, this would be the left, on your left hand. It's also where the papal apartments are, at least where Pope Francis sleeps, because that's not always been the case. But he has a simple room in Casa Santa Marta, and it's actually not far from where we are walking right now. More about that later on. So, these magi symbolized the people that were used to acknowledging that there is more to the world and to the universe than what you can see. That's why they studied the skies. They're also symbolizing this, and it's not by accident that they are from a priestly community or priestly tradition, because priests, being one myself, I'm aware of this. Priests are supposed to be intermediaries between our world and the world beyond this world. And so whatever power they wield, whatever they do, it's always not just their own power, but it's something that comes from this other world. You see the similarities with the Force. The Force is something that flows through you. We've learned from Obi-Wan and Yoda. But it's not your own strength. Actually, in order for the Force to work well, what you need to do is to open yourself to it. It is to not rely on your own strength and your own power, but to open yourself up to this bigger power that works through you. And that is what these this whole concept of priests, the priesthood, is. I mean, when I do my work, it's something that I always pray for. Whether I preach or whether I work in the media, that it's not about me, that it's not just what I can share, that's not so important, but that I share what God wants to communicate. Life is not about me. I'm just an intermediary, and hopefully I can transmit what I receive, what has been given to me, because ultimately faith is in the realm of gifts. It's not something that you can claim or acquire, and only to a certain extent can you study it, but it is something that you receive and to pass it on, to share it. And with the Force, very similar. And that is why the word magic, coming from magi, is so fitting in a way, because ultimately what magic is all about is, and of course there's a lot of resistance to that term, and that's also very, very ancient. It's ultimately meant to signify a strength that is beyond human, but it can be used for evil. It can be used for egotistical purposes, to even to replace God. That is why in religious circles there will sometimes be so much resistance to the notion of a wizarding world or books based on, you know, fantasy and wizards, because they fear that actually may lure people into believing that you don't need God. You can just change reality by yourself. You just need a little touch of magic. Well, so that's, I think, where that resistance and that deep unease comes from, that some people have when it comes to the whole concept of wizards. But if understood correctly, I think you can also see wizards as a fictional representation of this idea that ultimately there is something more than just human strength, and there is also God's strength, and that will change. That can move mountains, and our participation, our collaboration with that is essential. That's something that you see in every single Bible story. Yes, God can do anything he wants, but he wants us to join him. He wants us to mediate. Sorry, I'm moving some wires here underneath my gimbal, and it's kind of out of balance right now. We are invited to work with God and to let him work through us. I want to stop here for a second and show you this toy store, which I just visited. There's this massive Playmobil Father Christmas standing in front of it. It's about my size, a hobbit size. This is a store where they also have a lot of cool Lego figurines, and of course you know how much I love Lego. So here you have the entire collection of Batman Lego, the Batman movie Lego. And of course I'm very tempted to get that. The thing is, they will sort it out. They will actually do all the feeling, all the clothes, because you never know what's in the various little, what you call them. Well, you have to buy them individually, but you don't know what you get. So they are actually spending hours and hours kind of feeling what's inside. And then they have these entire collections. This is a very expensive one. This is like 90 euros, because they're 450 a piece, and then you've got 20 figurines. But the other day I bought the smaller collection of Lego City, which has all the nice characters that I can use for my catechesis videos for Tridio. And I was glad that they did all the hard work for me. And here you have a paper model of St. Peter's Basilica and the square. It's about 30 bucks, and it's a puzzle. That takes a long time. But anyway, I wanted to show you this. And since we're on the topic of wizards, here is a Disney department with all sorts of Disney characters. And of course, in the world of Disney, you also have the witches and the wizards. And the evil ones, the evil witches, they use the power for themselves and for evil. So, what is the common theme in this? What is the reason that I bring this up? I think in many ways, the story of Star Wars has wizard-like characters, and they're called the Jedi. And in many ways, the way in which George Lucas came up with the concept of the Jedi is basically in the tradition of our wizard stories in fairy tales, and even goes back all the way to these old tradition of the Magi. The Jedi are intermediaries between the world of the Force and its strength and the world of the world of the rest of the universe. And if used correctly, the Force will bring balance to that world. But if you hold on to the Force, if you grab the Force and you try to use it for your own gain, that's where you will bring turmoil. You will bring disaster to the galaxy. And so in many ways, the classic fairy tale story of the sorcerer's apprentice, you know, think of there he is, Mickey, Mickey Mouse. He has to learn that. Where is he? Here he is. Mickey, in that story of the sorcerer's apprentice, that's what he discovers. He wants to use magic to help him clean the basement. But because he's still an apprentice and he is not really obeying, and he doesn't want to learn first and be humble first, it ends in disaster. And then Merlin has to enter and fix things. Well, with the Force in the Star Wars stories, very much akin to those old fairy tales. It's all about acknowledging that this Force is not yours to wield, that you're only a servant of that magic. And if I connect that back to the story of the Magi, that is what the presence of the Magi in the story of Nativity tries to tell. They bow down for the one who is the origin, the source of this power, of ultimately the Holy Spirit, of love. And if they kneel down for him, that's when they truly become these intermediaries. They become true priests. And that is what the rest of the Nativity story tells us. That once they've met Jesus, they go back to their country. They change their ways, literally. They take another route. and they go back to the place where they came from to tell everyone about what they discovered, which is ultimately the origin of the love and the strength, the power, the force in the universe that they had been looking for to the skies, that they had been studying, that they had tried to master. Well, they discovered that the only way to find it is by kneeling down in front of that child who is the bearer of the force, of God's force, of his love. Those were some nativity thoughts, some Christmas thoughts about the Jedi, the Magi, and wizards. And that's what I wanted to share with you. We'll see how that turns out in the next installment of the Star Wars saga, The Last Jedi. Only a few more days and then it's there. And of course, once the movie is there, you'll hear more about it on this show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me. Thanks to my community of patrons. If you want to join them, patreon.com/FatherRoderick. If you want to see more of these videos, subscribe, press that subscribe button on YouTube here on the Tridio Media channel. And if you want to listen to the audio version and have a subscription to the podcast, then I invite you to go to tridio.com/subscribe. I'm Fatherick. That would be a nice name. No, thanks, Father Roderick from Rome. May the Force be with you, and I will talk to you soon.